I was thinking about this verse, and especially Wednesday night when I looked up, and our theme verse here has really been a blessing to me from January 1st on, especially this year, because most of the year had been trials for us. It was I wouldn't even say it's a trial, it's a time of growth, because that's when we usually grow most, is during trials. But I read it, and it really hit me again Wednesday night when it said, "Call unto me." Call. We're supposed to ask. We're supposed to talk to God and ask. Unto me, and I will answer thee. God says if we ask, he will answer us. Might not be the way we want it answered. And we might have to wait a day, a week, months, maybe years. And he's going to show us mighty things that we have no idea and can't even fathom of. And that is just such an awesome verse, every word of it. And it has a lot to do with my study, which I changed the title several times, and I ended up with Call Unto Me. This is a study. I'm going to go on, and I'll tell you my study. I believe that we have not because we ask not. Tonight I want us to really think about our prayer life. Are we missing out on the encouragement and the blessings in our Christian life because we are not taking the time to pray? Sometimes we limit God and we don't even bother to pray because we think maybe that our request is too big, maybe too expensive, or too impossible. How is our relationship with God in the area of prayer? Are we consistently seeking God through our day? Do we pray only when hardships and trials come? How often do we pray? Well, it's my desire tonight to see us grow in the area of prayer. And I want to share some thoughts with you on the area of prayer and hope that you'll draw closer than ever before to God because of a rich prayer life. I'm going to give you some examples of prayer. I have a unique situation with my work. It's a true blessing. I have worked in non-Christian environments for years, and over the last 3 years, I've had a great opportunity to work in a Christian environment that is a rare privilege. And I've grown in this area of prayer, probably because I have such freedom there that you normally don't get outside your home. I wanted to give some examples. The prayer, different examples, different things to think about, different things to encourage. Some examples are mine and some are other people's. One example of prayer is that I realized that Jonathan needed some clothes. This was probably about 3 weeks to a month back. And it seems, as we all feel, when we have the money, we don't have the time, and when we have the time to go get things, the money's not there. At least that's the way I always usually feel. So it was a Sunday night, and I told Mike, I go, you know, Jonathan needs specific clothes, and even before, he really wanted snow pants. So I'm like, well, you need to pray for him. I always tell my children, I try to train them up in the area of prayer. So I tell them, if you want it, you need to pray for it. And they look at me, and then we go to prayer. And then we wait on the Lord. Well, it was a Sunday night, and I told Mike, I go, you know, that Jonathan needs clothes. I need to pray for this. He's like, that's the best thing to do. So I went to prayer, and I went to work Monday morning, and there was a lady that came right up to me. She goes, I'm so glad to see you. I've had a bag of clothes sitting at my doorstep for about a week now. And she goes, I just thought of you this morning. And this is the second time with this lady that this has happened. And I praised the Lord, and I looked at her and I said, they were sitting there because I hadn't asked yet. And I don't know if she understood. But I really believe that sometimes we just don't get the blessings because we're not asking. And I believe that if I didn't ask the Lord for those clothes, they would have eventually gone off to Goodwill because that's where they were headed. And I believe God, I believe that God has a lot of answers to our prayers, and we don't take the time to ask. There was another example of two ladies. They were both having a discussion. excuse me, and they wanted to go to Israel. Both of them wanted to go to Israel. That's a pretty big thing. When you think about the cost, what, it's $5,000 to $10,000 usually to go there. You've got all the expenses. Some of you already know what that's like. You've gone to Spain, the expenses of going to another country. So they both said, well, I'm going to pray about it, and walked away. One of them didn't pray about it, and the other prayed about it for 3 weeks. They just informed me that the Lord provided a trip. Her husband had gone to a conference, and unbeknownst to him, they picked a couple to go to an Israel trip. All expense paid, everything, including gratuity. She doesn't have to pay for a cent. So she went back to the other person and praise the Lord for what she had prayed for, the Lord had provided. And the other one goes, oh, I'm going to go pray for this now. But I think that it's a praise that one person did go to the Lord in prayer and prayed faithfully. And the Lord answered her in that way. And the other person didn't pray. And who knows if she will ever get a blessing like that and all expense paid just handed to you. But I tell you that because, you know, nothing's too big. Nothing's too expensive. The Lord provided for me a sewing machine, a KitchenAid, and it was because I prayed. And it wasn't of me. It was because the Lord did it. And it's an awesome thing. And I think that the Lord wants to give us blessings. We just need to ask. One more thing before we move on. Toys. I love Christmas time. I love Christmas time because the toy catalogs come out. Now, we don't focus on all the worldly things. We all know what the true meaning of Christmas is. We like to focus, especially during that time, because it's a celebration of Jesus' birth. But to be quite honest, in our home, every day is a celebration of Jesus' birth. While our family is constantly reminded, and we praise Him for His birth and the resurrection. We like to have that attitude that we're constantly trying to do to live, you know, what the Bible says, not just during Christmas. So during Christmas and usually birthdays, I like to use it as a time to help my children to exercise their prayer life, especially when they see all these toy catalogs and we're in the store. And they say, oh, I want this or I want that. Or I'm like, okay, if you want it, you need to ask God for it. You need to pray for it. I go, sometimes it's okay to hand our thing. Sometimes I know we do this. Sometimes we, you know, we give our kids things by just plain grace. God does that to us, doesn't He? He answers prayers that we don't even ask. So this particular time, I know my son, it always takes him by off guard when I say, well, you need to pray for that. And he looks at me, and I'm trying to train my kids to pray. One of my kids wants a $10 item. I'm not going to say what, because I truly want the Lord to answer this in His time. The other one wants a $250 item. Which one is more? Which one is out of reach? I plainly told the one child that $250 is out of our reach. Realistically, there's no way that we can do that. It's of the Lord. So if you want that one item, you have to pray. And I want you to go in the kitchen and look at the things that the Lord's provided. Look, see, I'll go on to how answers to prayer are an encouragement to ourselves and to others. But I'm like, look what the Lord has done. Look at this little thing that the Lord provided. It's huge. Look at the big thing. It's all such a blessing, and I want them to be able to see that. And yes, my one child's praying for a $10 item, but God can give the big item just as much as the little item. Nothing's out of His reach. He can give the trip to Israel if that's what our heart desires and we're in His will. Let's begin by identifying what prayer is. I believe prayer is truly a gift from God. It is our communication line to Him. The Bible is what God gave us so that He can talk to us. But prayer is what He gave us so that we can talk to Him. It's our communication line. It's a privilege to be able to pray. Prayer is one thing that cannot be taken away or banned from us. If all our rights to publicly worship were taken away, we could still privately and quietly pray to our dear Lord. What do we do if we do not know how to pray? Well, we pray anyway. God knows our hearts, and He knows that sometimes in our weakness, we simply cannot find the right words to say. For this purpose, God has given us the Holy Spirit, as it says in Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. When should we pray? We should pray continually. We should continually be seeking the Lord. In 1 Chronicles 16:11 it says, to seek the Lord in His strength, seek His face continually. We should have a constant attitude of prayer, as in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, when God tells us to pray without ceasing. We should pray in sickness. When we are sick or afflicted, James 5:13 says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Christ prayed. We want to do it in morning and evening and all times. Christ prayed in the morning in Mark 1:35 and in the evening in Mark 6:46. We can pray anytime. Sometimes our workplace does allow for freedom in where and when you can pray. I know I have that freedom at this time. We can pretty much pray anytime that it's needed. It's a blessing, but others have to be very careful and very respectful about public prayer in their workplace. I also know this. I've been on the other side where my job has been threatened. I had to be very careful. Sometimes we need to be creative when we're in a restrictive environment like that. Maybe we can pray during our lunchtime, or sometimes when we get away to the bathroom. And I don't mean to sound silly with that, but there were times, very difficult times, early on in my work, where I was an early Christian and I had to just run away to the bathroom and have a time of prayer. Sorry. So sometimes we can pray in the car. We should always pray before we leave. I know that, thanks to my husband, he learned that early on, and right after I got saved, he had shared the importance of that. And I'll tell you, being just in some really interesting circumstances throughout my driving life and even the last 5 or so years, you do pray, and it's very serious. I don't want to do anything without asking the Lord to help me, because I can do nothing. It's all the Lord, and in everything I do, I want him there. I want His help. I can't do anything without Him. So we can pray. Definitely should pray before we drive, and we could pray while we're driving, or while we are working, or even shopping. Or we could be creative. I'm sure we could think of some other things. We could pray with our friends, or we can go off to a quiet place to pray. Jesus had an example of many examples of both, where He'd be praying and, you know, He'd go off to a quiet place, or there would be a crowd. There are many times and places in our day in which we can pray. How should we pray? Not repetitively. Matthew 23:14 says, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. God wants us to pray from our heart, not just words on a page, or words that have been rehearsed or ritualized. He wants us to pray patiently. We need to wait patiently for God's answer. Sometimes it takes a long time to see an answer. Sometimes the answer might not be yes. It might not be what we want. There were sometimes for buildings, George Mueller had to pray. I remember reading somewhere it was 11 years for one of those buildings. He prayed for that money and everything to go through. So in Psalm 46:10, it tells us to be still and know that I am God. God's God. He's the only one that can answer our prayers. We should pray with all our heart. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Any of our time spent with God, whether praying or studying our Bible, ought to be precious time with God. We should truly be seeking God, not just filling time or an obligation to say that I did my prayer and my Bible study today. This is a wonderful verse, and that God is right there for us. If we seek Him, we will draw nearer to Him. We will have answered prayer, and we will grow spiritually in every day if we are seeking after Him. We should pray very carefully. This verse really spoke to me. We serve a holy and all-powerful and all-knowing God. We are so precious to Him. God loved us first. We need to be very, very reverential when we speak to our Lord. We should never speak to Him like a best friend. And that's where it really hit me. Because sometimes, honestly, this really hit me in how holy God is. And how we have to be very, very careful and not just flip it in the way that we speak to Him in our prayers. This is Ecclesiastes 5:2. "Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few." I have to tell you, I already told you my work situation, but I had a dear friend. It just so happened that since I'm all over the place, sometimes several times in one day, it's actually a huge blessing to me. But I ran into a friend. She said, can you come pray with me? It's about my mom. So I'm like, sure, I had some time. So we went off and we sat in a quiet place, and there was another lady we asked to join, and she said, "My mom's in another country, and I want her here so bad, and the doors are really shut between the two countries and the embassy." So I go, "Okay, well, God can do anything. God can take care of all the paperwork. God can get her here if it's His will." So we went to prayer, and barely started to pray, and a fire alarm went off. I was very upset about that because I'd never been interrupted like that with prayer. It was a fire drill. So we had got most of the praying done, and I finished quickly, and we went outside, and I was so upset about that we were trying to pray and we got interrupted. We just got a few words of our prayer out, and we were outside, and she goes, "That's okay. God heard our prayer. God heard it." I go, "Okay." So I walked in. 7 days later, I'm walking out the door. She goes, "God answered our prayer." I'm like, "Really?" And I turned around and she goes, "My mom got her visa to come here." I'm like, "Praise the Lord." 7 days later. 2 days after that, she must have been on the plane. She goes, "Come here, I want you to meet somebody." So just days after the answer to prayer, she had her mom there. And I'm like, "Wow, God, you're so awesome. Here's our prayer request right here. And in a matter of 2 weeks, He can do all things. Nothing's too hard for God." But it hit me, and I tell you that because it really hit me that just a few words. Sometimes we think we have to come up with this long, drawn-out prayer that God's going to hear us better if we spend a lot of time praying. And that's really not the case. He knows our heart. What must we have in order to pray effectively? Well, we need two things. First, we must be saved. When we are lost, there is no communion or relationship with God. We are dripping in our sin and are completely held accountable for it. God will not hear us if we are not saved or if we are harboring sin, as in Psalm 66:18. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Turn from God, refuse His call, and despise His word, and you will not be heard from by him. You will have terror and destruction, and God will not be mocked. I'll tell you, when I was studying for this, and I'm going to read all these verses. They really were so powerful on salvation. And it, Proverbs chapter 1, verses 22 through 33. If someone has their Bible, you can join me in reading this. If not, I'll go ahead and read this. Very, very powerful. 22, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof, and behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. But because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regardeth. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell in safety and be quiet from fear of evil. I thought about the cancer example that Pastor uses a lot. And I thought about these verses that I read in Proverbs, and I couldn't help but just think about taking it even a little bit further to include the following. What if someone came up to you and said that they had the cure for cancer, which is what you have, and they told you how much they loved you? And then they said, not only do I love you, but the cure I had created myself just for you. And as a matter of fact, the cure is created by me and is a part of me, and I did it just for you because I love you so much. Now after all this, you turn away and reject what I have created just for you. My love for you is deep, and I would probably be angry and would turn away from you and may never offer you that cure again. If you are not saved today and have never asked God to forgive you of your sins, please consider this tonight while there is still hope. God is a loving God, and he loves you so much that he sent Jesus to die for you, to be punished for you because of your sin. God is also a God of judgment. If you are not saved, you are condemned already and at this very moment. And if God is calling you and you're scorning and mocking and rejecting him, you are in great danger, danger of misery and terror and destruction. Just as these verses had said, prayers are not heard and God will eventually hide his face from you. Secondly, we need faith. What is faith? Hebrews 11:1 tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. In Hebrews 1:6, we see that without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we see that faith is something that we cannot see. We cannot please God without it, and we cannot even come to him without it, because it allows us to believe that he is God. Therefore, our faith has to come from God, and God gives us our faith. It is our responsibility to use it and develop it. And in Luke 17:5, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. If you struggle with faith and unbelief, ask God to help you and to give you more faith. When we pray, we ask God, we need to ask in faith and not waver, as James 1:6. I'm not sure that that's correct, that verse. I'll have to double check that. But anyway, I'm going to say a verse. It's either James 1:6 or Mark 11:24. I'm sorry about that. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. It's one of those two, and I want to say that one is probably Mark 11:24. Why are your prayers not answered? Well, you may not be saved. Secondly, when we pray selfishly for our pleasure or glory instead of God's, James 4:3 says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Thirdly, sin. Sometimes our prayers aren't answered simply because of sin and iniquity. Psalm 66:18. For example, if we have aught against a brother, not tithing, things that God tells us that we need to be doing. Four is indifference. Proverbs 1:28. Also despising God's word. Proverbs 28:9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Not God's desire for you. Sometimes God simply does not want to give us what we want because it is not what is best for us at the time. We should be thankful for the times that God says no. And keep in mind, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither my ways are your ways. My ways, saith the Lord. Does that sound about right? Okay. We need to be careful when God says no about getting upset that God did not give us what we wanted. I have found that often with major decisions, it is best for me to pray for God's will and for clarity on what His will is. Paul prayed 3 times for the Lord to take his infirmity away, and God said that His grace was sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. So sometimes God allows things in our life to glorify Him and be useful for His work. Sometimes we need daily reminders that we are completely and only sustained by Him moment by moment. What are some things that we can pray for? Spiritual needs, growth desired in a certain area, physical needs, clothing, food, housing, etc. Wants, things that we would like. Another person's wants or needs. Events. Protection. Safety is not our own, as it is of the Lord, as we see in Psalm 4:8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. Praise. We should rejoice in the Lord always. We should pray for wisdom. James 1:5 tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. These things are for the asking, but we need to ask for it. We need to call. Call unto me. We need to call unto God and ask for these things. Another thing I was thinking on the way over is health. That's a big thing, to pray for good health. When we're sick, to pray. What do we not have to pray for? Sometimes when others ask us to pray, we may already have the answer to their prayer in our possession. Do we really have to pray for something if God has given us the means to meet their need? This has happened to me before. People have asked me to pray about something, and I don't need to pray. God wants me to act on this. God just wants me to supply this to them. We don't need to ask God. It's right here. Very often, we simply need to act on it and provide for their need. We just need to do it. Be a blessing, because sometimes you are the answer to prayer. Sometimes you are the answer to their prayer. God is a giving and forgiving God, but we have to pray and ask to receive it. Praying not only builds our relationship with God, but it humbles us. When we begin to have a deep prayer life, we see that we are completely dependent on God. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." In conclusion, it is important for us to pray. It builds our relationship with God, and it gives encouragement. Encouragement to us, our families, to our friends, to our church. When we see the answers to our prayers, it's very encouraging. There is no limit to our time in prayer. God wants us to talk to Him. We should pray not only for our needs, but also for her wants. God promises to take care of us and meet our daily needs, and wants so that we can have joy and be encouraged in Him. The joy from answered prayers is unspeakable. Please remember how precious prayer is, and if we tell someone that we're going to pray for them, please do it. Never promise to pray for somebody and not do it. We should never take prayer lightly. They're depending on your prayer if they've asked you to pray for them or about something. God is our ultimate provider in all things. Is anything too hard for God? No. If we are not in iniquity and sin, and we are seeking Him and are patient, God will answer our prayers.